Okay, so I just before we start, I just want to, I had an interesting conversation this week. I just want to share with you this conversation that I had this week. Person was asking me about importance of halacha, details in the halacha, etc. Like, why is it so important? This is details, right? We're into details. And he was asking me, like, you know, he had some issues. Somebody made a whole big thing about why is it so important to get involved in the details. So I told him, you know, if a person reads a book, so the great classics, I'm sure you've all had this experience. You went to school, you studied for the test, you took out the cliff notes, you know, and this book, which is 600 pages long, is reduced to 20 pages. Right? The plot is 20 pages long, and that's it. So, but why is the book 700 pages long? Because the details create what makes the book into a classic. The other hand, sometimes the details actually do bog you down to the point that you lose the plot, and that's not fun either. You know, then you, so if a person understands the teichen of what they're doing, the importance of what they're doing, so there's a teichen to it. So then the details become very valuable. The person loses the teichen, loses the content. What's the plot? What's it's all about? It gets just stuck only in the details. You know, that is problematic. That is an issue. So that was the moshel that I answered to him. And I said, why? Sometimes we have to understand what the teichen is. That's, you know, but at the same time, the details become very enhancing and very important. So it's wonderful. Everybody is coming again. It scared some people away. Added some new faces. So to discuss the go weiter in the halachas. Okay. I want to share with you, just if you turn to your sheets, way back when on page one, on the first page, so on number two, so he said bones with no meat or marrow on them, so we said, which that would be considered muksa, and then we said if they are food for domestic dogs, birds in the neighborhood, then they're not muksa in this neighborhood, it can be moved in any fashion. So I took it upon myself to speak to Dr. Mark Katz, just to ask him what is actually the reality in regards to chicken bones. I think meat bones is pretty clear. That meat bones are, you know, people do give to their dogs, etc. What's with chicken bones? So he told me, I mentioned chicken bones. I said, oh, chas v'sholem, chicken bones to dog, because they can hurt them. They're not, the small bones actually can perforate into the esophagus, the stomach, etc. They also constipate them. They're not good for them. I said, okay, do people use them or not? That's my question. Do people actually feed them to the dog or not? Because I'm not getting involved in the health issues. Do people do it or not? He says, as far as he knows, at least from all of his people are coming with their pets, it's very uncommon that people will be feeding chicken bones to their dogs nowadays. That would create that they're considered muksa. Now, the only question is, I asked them, what about stray dogs, etc., would they eat it? Because we mentioned that stray animals don't count, but dogs are an exception. I'm not going to get involved in why, but that's so. So he said they would eat it. So the question now is, do we have stray dogs in our neighborhood? I thought yes, and my wife tells me that she hasn't seen a stray dog in this neighborhood in quite some time.
Montgomery County.
Right, so I don't know. If that is true, that's the reality, then your chicken bones would be considered, again, if there's any meat left in them, you're okay. You leave a little bit piece of meat in them, you're okay. But if they be totally cleaned off, you have a wishbone, you know, something like that, that bone will become muksa. That's one clarification I wanted to do. Second clarification I wanted to do with is, if you turn to number 8, which is on the second page, we're going to talk about this more, about garbage cans. I'm going to go back to garbage cans a little bit. I said last time, it's the majority of usable. I changed that to equal. As long as there's an equal amount of your discards, which are muksa, and your non-muksa, you're fine. As long as it's equal, the two amounts are equal, that's sufficient. I wanted to correct that point. And,
that's the question?
Yes.
Was that muksa before Shabbos or during Shabbos? Before Shabbos or during Shabbos?
I'm sorry, what?
Was it muksa put in before Shabbos or during Shabbos?
Garbage cans? Yeah. We'll talk about that.
We're always talking about
that. I can't guarantee we might have table to take number 3. I just want to warn you. So we left off last time. We still hadn't left the table yet. We were still trying to figure out how to clean clean the table. We left off with number 22. So if we set a situation where there's a spill on the table, there's a spill on the floor, a person can put down a shmata. Is there a concern that a person will come to squeeze out the shmata? So he said, since it's a shmata, which a person doesn't really mind that it gets wet, etc., so you're allowed to put it down. And as long as the water which you're putting it in is not going to be cleaning it itself, it's dirty water. So that's not cleaning it. It's derech lichluch, it's making it dirty. And you're not going to squeeze it because I don't care if my shmata is wet or not. So then you're allowed to use that. We did say it's preferable to use disposables. We'll see why that is in a second. Maybe make that a minute or two. Now, the question was, okay, but now that it's soaked, what can I do with this item which is soaked? So like this. If it's soaked through all the way to the point that when I pick it up, I'm squeezing out liquid. So then I have to use it with some other... You have to pick it up with a knife, something... But let's say it's not that soaked through. Or there's one spot which is not soaked through like that, but the majority of it is soaked through like that. Because Al said, we don't want you picking it up because you might come to squeeze it. That's also the next step of the issue. But something which I don't care about, like we said, the shmata, I don't mind squeezing it. I'm not interested in squeezing it, would not be a problem. So if my garment got wet, there would be an issue of moving it. It becomes muksa. If my garment got wet to that point, it becomes muksa because I might squeeze it. But the shmata, which I don't care about squeezing, would not be muksa, and I'd be allowed to move it as long as I'm not actually squeezing it. Okay, that's where we left off from last time. Good. Okay, now, what we didn't... So we're moving now to the number 24. So now that what fell down was, let's say, a colored liquid. When you put your shmata down, your towel down, whatever it is, it's going to get color. It's going to color it. So one of the lama tes melachas is tzeveya. It's coloring something, it's dyeing something. So is there a concern over here with dyeing something, with making it colored by putting it down? So this is an argument in halacha, because I'm putting it down not with intent to make it. It's making it dirty. I'm not really trying to dye my towel with this color. I really prefer it wouldn't get dyed. I don't want it to soap up this red wine, which is absorbing. So is that a problem or not? This is actually a machlokes in halacha. And the Mishnah Berurah says you should be machmer. See, even though I'm doing it in a way which is making it dirty, I'm dyeing it in a way which is making it dirty, Mishnah Berurah says you should be machmer, and you should not put it down something which is going to get colored. And that's why Ramosha says, if you have an option of disposables, there's no problem of coloring. So if I'm using a disposable napkin, even though my white napkin will now turn red, that's not a problem. So that's why we said in number 21, your best bet is to use disposables. One of the reasons why it's better is because of this issue of coloring it. In a situation where I don't have an option of using disposables, I can't find some other way to soak it up, I would be allowed to rely on the mekilim. If I do not have another option, I would be allowed to rely on the mekilim. It's a large amount and I don't have enough disposables. And I would be allowed to rely on the lenient opinion and color, put down my shmat, even though it's going to color it. So I'd be allowed to do that.
Rabbi Rengel?
Yes?
If you used a colored towel, would that make a difference?
Now, so, interestingly enough, the Pesukim say that it's preferred. The Pesukim say that it's preferred to use a towel which is not the same color as the liquid that you're absorbing.
That would be enhancing the color.
Otherwise, because it would be enhancing the color, right? So you know, so if a red wine spill, don't use a red towel. So that'll be strengthening the color which is there. So that's maybe even more of a problem. So you'd use a yellow towel, something of a different color. Okay, so that's number 24. Now, so let's say it's number 25. The color liquid now spills on the tablecloth. So there's no plastic on top of it. So I have my tablecloth over there. It's getting absorbed, etc. So you should be careful as you're soaking it up. You should be careful not to spread the color. Because as we say, we said it's preferred, halacha says you're supposed to be careful with this issue of dyeing something, of coloring it. So you do not want to spread the color as on the tablecloth itself as you're picking up the liquid. So I said, well, no problem. I'll sort of push the liquid to the side and I'll scoop it up, with a spoon. And we'll talk about that in a second. So meanwhile, I'm moving the color of this liquid further along the tablecloth. So I should be aware of the fact I should not do that. So don't move it to any place which is not already colored.
So you just put the towel on top?
You can put the towel on top and absorb it over there. But you be aware of the fact that if your towel is spreading out further and the liquid's through your is going to absorb and spread and then spread downwards into the tablecloth, be aware of that. Get it out of there beforehand, etc. Okay. Number 26. So the water spills spills on the tablecloth, and there's a plastic down. There's a plastic tablecloth, and the water spills on the plastic tablecloth. And number 27 is water spills on the tablecloth, which is not plastic. So not a plastic tablecloth. You're bona fide, actual. You're making a fancy Shabbos suda. You have your regular tablecloth there with no plastic on top. Your kids are a little bit older already, and you're not doing that. So and the water spills. So let's take those separately. So we discussed last time that there are three stages of number 20. There are three stages of cleaning. The malacha of cleaning with water. You said there are three stages. The first stage is soaking it in water already creates a cleansing process. Then number two we said was the rubbing of it as you rub it together, etc. And then as you wring it out and you squeeze out the liquid at the end, that's the third stage, takes out the dirty water, the dirt which is there. And any one of those three stages is a problem. Okay, so the Gemara does differentiate and says that's only talking about a cloth. Something which is made out of leather, the first stage does not apply to it. There's no issue of adding water. So if I would get dirt on my shoes, my leather shoes, I could pour water on it to take the dirt off. Leaving leisha problems. I don't mean mud. I mean dirt. Some food stuff, whatever it is. I could pour water on it to make it run off. But even that I can't rub. Even leather, which I'm allowed to soak it in water, I cannot rub it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the question: how do we deal with plastic tablecloths? Do we deal with them as the same level as leather? Which means you're allowed to soak it in water, but you can't rub. Or is it even more chomer? Is even more kuladik than leather? That even rubbing is not a problem because they're so non-absorbent that there's no issue. Even the rubbing doesn't do anything to the actual. You're not actually cleaning the tablecloth. You're just taking off the surface, off the top of it. So Rav Moshe says we should be machmer on that. It's questionable. He says that we should be machmer. So therefore, even if you have water spilling on your plastic covered tablecloth, so you could soak it up, whatever it is, but you can't rub. Yeah.
The tablecloths that beat up that are like meant to be waterproof, which category would you put those in? You spill the liquid and you watch it beat up, it will not go into the fabric.
Right. So I'm going to put that up to 27. Okay. So now so similarly, let's take that idea a step further. So let's say you spill some orange juice on the plastic tablecloth. So I'd be allowed to take some water and pour it on there to dilute it and help the cleansing process by diluting it. But I can't rub. And I said, okay, now I'll start either with my hand or with the cloth, for sure not. I can't start rubbing that water into the on the cloth in order to get out the orange juice which is spilled there. Okay, so that is if you have, yeah.
It could be you're about to answer. I was going to say, that means you can't, wipe down your plastic tablecloth after a meal?
So if, I'm not sure what you, the fine terms wipe down. What do you mean by wipe down? Before I answer that question.
It's sticky, you're going to put water in and wipe it.
So if you rub gently, lightly is permitted. So you shouldn't be rubbing hard, it should be a light surface. Right? That's permitted. Okay. So that goes back to... No. At the same time, obviously, you have to be careful while you're doing this cleansing process. You have to be aware of the fact that we said that using the shemata, if it's something which you don't mind getting wet, so you're allowed to use it, something which you would, might come to wring it out, so you don't use your apron to pick it up, and that type of thing. Yes?
I'm just thinking about my life. What's considered a liquid? Like, if the yogurt's all over the table, how do I...
Is it all considered liquid, and I just, is there any other problems, like with wiping off if it's not liquid itself, or if it's like yogurt or jello? I don't know, whatever other things might be on the table. Where do other things fall? Are they considered liquids or solids? Well, wiping it off is not a problem. If you're asking if I have a problem, it's not absorbing into the tablecloth. In some ways, liquid is less of a problem than solids, because solids I can't just like wipe off.
Right, liquids I can technically just take a cloth and wipe it off.
Okay.
But yogurt, like if it was crumbs, I couldn't just take it and wipe it off. So where do things like yogurt or, I don't know, other things fall?
Yogurt still, as far as I know, it would still be considered a food stuff, and it's not moksa.
No, okay.
Okay. Okay. So now, number 27, you have water on your tablecloth, and there's no plastic on top. So, what are you allowed to do? So we'll talk about the absorbent tablecloth, and we'll talk about the non-absorbent tablecloth. So, the absorbent tablecloth, we have an issue that the water is soaking into the tablecloth. You want to get that water out. So I can take the water off the surface, but if I can't press down, I can't press into the tablecloth to get the liquid out, because then I'm squeezing. So, the person has to be very careful when they put down anything they're putting down. They're putting down some paper towels, whatever they're putting down, don't press. Because you're pressing, you're squeezing liquid out of the tablecloth, and that's going to be considered that you're doing the malacha of malabin, of squeezing out liquid, which takes out some of the dirt which is there. So if you have an absorbent tablecloth, you'll be pressing down, you have to be careful. That's being said, so the same issue, if you go think about, forget about the tablecloth, the shmata that you're using, if it's getting saturated, if it's a large amount of water, which is the shmata will get saturated, you have to be careful not to squeeze the shmata, not to press down too hard on the shmata, because you're going to be squeezing over there. So let's say a person was, one example, let's say a person would want to take, it's still a lot of water, so you want to take a cup and use a spoon to scoop into the cup or something of that sort, and get the liquid off. That's fine, but don't be pushing down with the spoon as you're trying to get the liquid out. Let's say it's a non-absorbent tablecloth. So the non-absorbent tablecloths are made out of they're always, as far as I understand, they're man-made materials. I imagine, I'm assuming so. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But I understand that they're man-made materials. Actually, man-made materials are a little more lenient than halacha. That's only drabanan. Man-made materials are only drabanan because they don't truly absorb. They trap between the fibers, but they don't truly absorb. So because that is so, it is a little more kuladik. See, if you have something which you really see that it's not absorbing, you could treat it along the lines of plastic. And Rosh actually seems to say in the tshuva, even in a case where it was fibers, it would be, he questions what status it has. But in regards to, so regards to at least stage one of, I mean, we're not going to be pouring water on it. I wouldn't advise to pour water on it. But theoretically, it would be conceivably possible to pour water on it. I would not advise to do. But once it's there ready to pick it up, you could pick it up. Again, rubbing, you shouldn't do harsh, so it's not going to be too much of a difference. Is that clear? Okay. Now, just going back to Mr. Chora's question, so let's say I want to take a spray bottle, something I want to, and mist it lightly to put liquid there and then to wipe up. That's fine. No, that's not a problem. If you're not going to get the shmata saturated, it's going to be just a minimal amount of water, which will just, you spray down. You So you can put the lid that and then wipe it up with your rag or whatever, towel, whatever it is. That's not a problem. You can't saturate the towel and then squeeze down with the towel because I want the liquid to leave the towel to go onto the table. But I could pour, I could spray water onto the table, use a spray bottle or whatever it is, pour water onto the table and then and the plastic cloth, the plastic tablecloth which is there, I'm thinking plastic tablecloth. Right? So I can do that. Same like I can do on my counter in the kitchen. I want to, if it's something spills there, I could take, put some water there on the counter and then pick it up, you know. Over there, you can actually rub if you want. And rub into the counter and then pick it up with a shmat afterwards.
Can you use a cleaning solution? Like,
no, you can do it with soap? Like a very diluted. You're talking about on the counter? You're talking about on the table?
Counter, let's say.
On the, yeah, that's the counter for sure is okay. On the plastic table, I think according to Marcia, would also be mutter. But not pressing in as long as the first layer is mutter.
Even if it's something like bleach or something, and is there a problem?
If
on the counter,
you know, if it's not going to color, it's not going to change its color. I don't know whether it would or wouldn't. But you know, that no, don't ask. You have to. But assuming that it doesn't, okay. Wouldn't make a difference. The answer of bleaching is if you actually have bleaching. You're not bleaching.
Well,
bleaching.
Well, you're using it as a cleaning agent.
Like a Fantastic,
so.
Right, or Windex.
Right, like there are lots of things with bleach.
Lysol on the counter.
Right.
Right on the counter to clean up the mess.
Yeah. So number 28, we pointed out, so wiping spills vigorously, so if you're going to press down with the shmata, you're going to have this issue of, you're doing the malacha of skita, of squeezing the liquid out, from the shmata onto the table, etc. So that's a problem. You can't do that. So the halachic issue is, again, we're dealing with schita, and then the solution is, of course, don't do it vigorously. That's pretty straightforward. Right? You're allowed to do it lightly, but not vigorously. Okay, that is cleaning the table. We've moved past cleaning the table. Okay, so now cleaning the tablecloth, right? Now, I want to take my food off of the table. It's also called cleaning the table. I want to take the food off the table and put it away. So one of the issues, the Yisurim, which you're going to deal with, will be Hachana. That Chazal prohibited us from preparing on Shabbos or after Shabbos, doing things on Shabbos, which will prepare for usage for after Shabbos. I can't do the extra tircha on Shabbos to minimize my tircha after Shabbos. That's one issue which we're going to talk about. And then a lot of issues, sometimes you're going to have potentially a borer issue. Sometimes what you're doing will be borer. And I want to explain that up front. We know the malacha of borer is separating the good from the bad. So, over here, all my food on my table is good. It's not borer. The Mishnah Berurah explains that there is a all of the Ovis Malachas have what's known as toldus, derivatives. And the same way Ovis, the Malachas, the primary Ovis Malachas are an Issa Deraisa, the derivatives are also an Issa Deraisa. So that there's a derivative of the Issa of Borer, which is called Miyun. Miyun is sorting. So if I have an example which we'll get back to, let's say I have a Kiddush, I'm cleaning up from the Kiddush, and so the Kiddush, the trays started out very nice, and you know, before we started, of course, the tray there was a row of the white cake and the row of the chocolate cake and the row of something of carrot cake, and now it's all a mishka bavel. So it's a taruvis; they're all mixed together. And I want to say, no, I want to put it away. Let's put it away, ready. Next time I pull it out, it's a little. So I take the carrot cake and put it here, and the white cake and put it there, and I sort it up, and all it looks beautiful. That's an issue of the rice. So toys would have theoretically have the same problem. This is not a toy share, but I don't want to leave you hanging on the toys. I'll get back to the toys in a second. Not in a second, a few minutes. So there's an issue derisa called sorting, and that can apply if you can apply theoretically along the way as you're cleaning. But the definition before whenever you deal with the malacha of borer. There has to be an assumption. The assumption is that there's a mixture. If there's no mixture, there's no problem with borer. Borer is an act of sorting out from a mixture. So there has to be a mixture to start with. So a teruvis, yes?
Just out of curiosity, though, if say you're doing because we work in the shul, so we do like three different kiddushes. And we put out the first kiddush, and like you say, it's all separate. Then it comes back mixed, but we want to again set it up so it looks nice for the second or the third kiddush.
Right, so the same hetter that you have for burra that you're allowed to use, you do it for immediate use, would apply to sorting also. Correct. So burra always assumes that there's a teruvah, there's a mixture. Now, a mixture, obviously, any mixture you're dealing with is going to be there's going to be three factors which are going to define a teruvah. Three factors which are going to define a teruvah. If you want extra space to write, you can go all the way to the back pages. There's empty boxes. So a mixture assumes, obviously, you have to think about the amount of items which are there, the proximity of the items which are there, and the size of the items which are there. If I have two big tires in my dining room, you know, right? So my kids are playing on them, they're not a mixture. I mean, there's a tire, and there's a tire. They're gigantic, right? That's not a problem. You know, I have little toys, I'm getting a problem with the tarubis. Well, it's only two toys. So it's little, but there are only two of them. So it's not a mixture either. Or there's two toys which are, there's five toys, and they're small, but they're in the five different corners of the room. That's not a mixture. All right, so you have to. You only have when you get all three items, all these three issues together. There's an amount, there's a size, and there's a proximity. Then you have the loch of taruvus. Now I've asked my poisik many years to give me a definition of what defines a taruvus. And I'm sorry, I'm going to give you the answer that he gives me, and I pushed him more than once. His answer is, if it looks like a taruvus, it's a taruvus. If it doesn't look like a taruvus, it's not a taruvus. That's the answer that he's given me more than once. Now, there are some, I've seen other definitions in the poskim that they're touching by definitions of taruvus, etc. It really depends how clear the distinct they are. If I have two very very bright colored items, and one's bright red and one's bright yellow, so I see them as distinct, even though they're right next to each other. Again, that would make it not a taruvus. If I have a lot of them, it's not going to help. If I have two or three of them, and they're clearly distinct, it's not a taruvus. The example which the person talked about, there's an issue of taruvus on svarim. It's one of the issues they have in cleaning up in the shul. People have to be aware, when a person cleans up in the shul afterwards, you know, you put the siddurim over here, and the chamashim over there, that could be a sorting problem. It could be a malacha. But as long as they're clearly distinct, it's not a problem. But if the coloring is faded and some of the siddurim look like chamashim, some of look like siddurim, it can become a real issue of a malacha deraisa. So it applies in many areas. Yes?
What's the difference between separating and sorting? I'm not hearing much of a difference.
Between separating and sorting.
You said borer, and then you said a different word for sorting. Like you said it's the...
Borer, we're all familiar. The definition of borer is there's good and there's bad.
Oh, so sorting is...
Both are good.
Everything's good.
Everything's good. I like white cake, and I like brown cake, and I like green cake, I like purple cake, but I want them separate. I'm sorting them out into categories. So I'm categorizing them. So this is an issue when we're putting away, it's going to apply, if your table gets too, you know, there's too much, you know, I don't know, Baruch Hashem, my wife, when she serves a Shabbos Suda, like there's food, you know, you theoretically have a possibility of a taruvus. You have a few guests, and there's plates, and there's all the middle plates in the middle, and all the, you know, you serve one or two courses, you're okay. If you serve a lot of courses, it's a small table, it starts getting theoretically a taruvus. Or you take everything into the kitchen, you put it on the kitchen table, and there's this tremendous pile of plates, and small plates, and large plates, and bowls, and silverware, and serving trays, all on your little kitchen table. You might have a taruvus when you get there. We can discuss sorting when you're washing the dishes. So I want to pull all the small plates to wash the small plates. I want to do all the knives. Well, I want to do we'll do the knives, and we'll do the forks, and we'll do some sorting that. It's not good or bad. So this issue of sorting has a lot of applications as we're going to be cleaning up. So I just want to get it clear up front. There is a real issue over here. Even if not, so, and hopefully, let me get through this. I don't want to leave you hanging on this. Rabbi Rangel said, I don't have to clean any dishes on Shabbos to get an answer for this, you know. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so there is an issue of Hakana, which is preparing for after Shabbos. So in this issue of Hakana, which we said this issue of Hakana preparing for after Shabbos, if there is an issue of, I'm doing it not to prepare for after Shabbos, I don't want to lose the item. It's going to spoil. So that's not an issue. So I want to clean up my take my food off of the table and put it in the fridge. I can put it in the fridge. I'm not doing it to prepare after Shabbos. I don't want to lose the food to spoil. While I'm at it, I can take it and put it. I can take it from the table, and put it straight in the freezer if I want it. I don't want it to. That's where I want to store it. I can store it there. There's no extra tircha involved. Once it's in the fridge and it's fine, I can't take it from the fridge and put it in the freezer. Well, it's fine right now. So that's just because I want to have it, you know, frozen so I can keep it for later on. That's already a problem of achana. So, and number 29, putting away food. So I can take things and put them straight into the put them together and take them and put them into the freezer. And that's a good way for me to put them away. That's fine. Now, freezing foods. This is like a subcategory. Freezing items on Shabbos. There's no problem with freezing salads on Shabbos. Freezing liquids. So I want to take. I want to take my my soup and put it away. I have my pot of soup. I'm not really planning to use it again on Shabbos. There's no little room in the fridge. I said no problem. I'm going to put the pot in the freezer, right? And I'm going to freeze my soup. So there is a prohibition lechatchilo of freezing making liquids into salads. So if I have no other option, I'm allowed to do it. So that's the only place I have no room in the fridge. I don't want to throw the soup out. The only place I can put it in the freezer, so I'd be allowed to do that. But if I have an option of putting it into the fridge, I can't put it into the liquids. I can't put it into the freezer. Or alternatively, I feel that it's whatever reason. I don't think the fridge is going to be able to maintain it. It's going to spoil in the fridge. Whatever reason, I must put it in the freezer. So again, I'd be allowed to put it in the freezer.
Do you have an ice cube machine? Do you have to turn it off to be able to use it? Let's say your freezer automatically makes ice.
I turn it off. You know, that's an electricity issue.
Right.
So, yeah. Oh,
it's not related.
Okay. So let's say, or even if I have a situation where I don't have room to put my large pot of soup, I use a good part of it. I'd rather transfer it to a smaller pot. So my goal for transferring a smaller pot is storage space in the fridge. It's just easier to put it into a smaller pot. So I can transfer it from the large pot into a smaller container to put it in the fridge. That's not called alkana, because it's right now I just need the space in the fridge. So that's not considered an alkana issue. Okay. Clearing the table. So obviously I'm clearing the table. I'm not clearing it for after Shabbos. I'm clearing it for later uses on Shabbos. Even if I'm I won't be having another meal here. I'm eating out shal shudas, I'm going to a simcha, and I won't be. But I don't like leaving. You know, it's just uncomfortable of sitting there with all of this mess on my table. So my goal over here is to enhance my Shabbos right now. So that's not a problem of achana. I'm not doing that. So that's number 30. Clearing the table. It's not. It's if my goal is for a valid Shabbos need. Either another meal coming up, or because I want it to look nice, that's not a problem. It's after Shal Shudas. It's another 20 minutes is going to be ready after Shabbos, and I can wait till 20 minutes. I don't really need it cleaned up at that point in time. Not eating anything more, so I personally should not be cleaning up after Shal Shudas, because it's not really a valid Shabbos need in that situation. I'm in a room which is not going to be used again after Shabbos. I don't need to stay in there. We went down to the den and we had our Shabbos party, and I'm not going to be going back to the den anymore. Nobody's been sitting in the den anymore till after Shabbos. So there's no reason to clean up over there. Why am I cleaning up? Because I'm not going to use it. It's not enhancing my Shabbos. I'm not going to be there the rest of Shabbos. It's just I like to have this clean room, so after Shabbos it's nice and clean, etc. That would be a problem about Chana. Yes?
If you were cleaning your table after Shal Shudas because somebody was going to come over,
right,
that's an issue for Shabbos.
Right, that's the Shabbos. Yes.
I thought there was also an issue of personal comfort. If it really disturbs you greatly to have that mess, then you should clean it. So your Shabbos is concerned.
Theoretically, you know, but usually the idea was because I'm sitting there in it. If I could close off the room, and because my mind is, you know, don't think about it. You know, see if I can't not think about it. So then you're right. You know, yes.
Just a couple questions. Going back to the putting food in the freezer, does that apply to Yom Tov also, or not? putting liquids, freezing liquids.
Yes. Unless there's an ochel nefesh element of it. Unless you need it, that would... But usually you're freezing it because for after yomtiv. Right? But if I need it for yomtiv, that's an ochel nefesh issue. In other words, I want to freeze it Friday night. I have a fancy... not Friday night. I want to freeze it Thursday night to use again Shabbos Friday morning. It's a fancy dish. It has to be served frozen. You know, ice cream. Okay? Ice cream is not a problem. It's a solid, but whatever, something of that sort, you know.
Ice cream is a solid?
For these purposes, I assume it's a solid.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Reverend Reingold, I have one more question.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you're cleaning up because you have a rodent or bug problem.
Well, yeah, we're going to get to that. I want to discuss underwashing dishes, but theoretically it applies anywhere along the line. Okay.
For the freezing liquid, and Yom Tov, that would be a problem. Freeze liquid, like if I wanted to put my soup away, I could put it in the fridge or the freezer. I could just put it in the freezer, or I can't do that after.
You're right. Just Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos in regards to that, unless there's a Yom Tov need for today. In other words, I need to freeze it, maybe we use it later on today. And I couldn't, the fridge wouldn't do that, whatever. I mean, otherwise, you said, I'm not a culinary expert, let's say such a thing, but otherwise it would be a problem.
Or if you don't have space.
Right, then it's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov.
What's the problem with freezing?
The Isser of Merlid, of making something, applies to Yom Tov also. There's a head of Echol Nefesh. There's no Echol Nefesh at that point in time. Yeah.
Let's say there's something that's not going to spoil per se, but it'll get like challah. So I have frozen challah. So I take a second one out because I need Lechem Mishnah, and then I want to put it away back in the freezer. Technically, I can leave it out, but like, the more I do that, the more likely it is to get stale. But it's not going to, go bad.
It's solid.
What? No, I know, but I'm putting it back in. His whole point is that you're not allowed to put things back in the thing unless you're worried about spoiling, right? So I'm not worried about...
No, I can clean up at the end of my meal. I don't have to leave the challah there. If I want to clean up the table at the end of the meal, so I have a nice clean table. So that's a valid thing. Now, once I have it in my hand, I can put it wherever I want.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Can you clarify the spoiling? Like, let's say we put soup back in the fridge like on a 3-day Yom on a Thursday night. So it's not technically necessarily going to spoil by Mitzvah Shabbos or Sunday, but you're not going to eat it again Mitzvah Shabbos or Sunday. You want to use it the next week for Yom Tov. Like, in other words, by the time you're going to want to eat it again, it's going to be spoiled.
But that's a Hachana issue.
Then it is.
Right. In other words, an example would be, let's say the soup is still warm. So if you put it in the fridge until it cools off, the fridge doesn't cool it quickly enough, it's going to possibly spoil. You put it in the freezer, it freezes it more quickly, it won't spoil. Right? Okay. Okay, let's say I want to take my... I'm skipping 31 for now. We'll get back. So I want to take my items and my plates, and I want to put them into the dishwasher. I'm not going to really wash them until after Shabbos. I don't really need them anymore. And I want to put them into the dishwasher. So if you store dishes in the dishwasher regularly, that's another place to put them until you get to them, right? So you'll take all of your dirty dishes and put them in the dishwasher, and then eventually when you're ready, you'll take them out and deal with them then. So that's not a call. No, I'm not preparing for after Shabbos to have them all ready. They're already in the dishwasher, ready to go. I'm just putting that's a good place to store them. So if I want to use my dishwasher as a place to put my... If that's something which is normal for me, that's not a hachana issue, and that's mutter. If, however, I do not normally do that, I normally deal with them, etc., but I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. Like, I'll just put it in the dishwasher, they'll be ready to go right after Shabbos. That's a hachana issue. So in our house, we do use a dishwasher for, to do it. We put things straight into the dishwasher on Shabbos. I've got many questions along the way, like, what are you doing? I said, what's wrong? Now, but you have to be aware of a burr issue, because in a dishwasher, certain things go on the top, there's things go on the bottom. You have a sorting issue. Again, it's no good and no bad. I don't like small plates more than large plates, but everything has its place. I can't sort them.
But first you wash something, and then you're holding that one thing to still be part of the mixture. Like, you have a bunch of things on a table, and you're taking one at a time, like you're rinsing it. I mean,
that's what
you use in my house. Like, you don't just put it straight dirty into the dishwasher. You just, like, rinse it a little.
You rinse it. Can you rinse it before you put
it
in the dishwasher is the question.
Wait, you're asking me the burr problem or the rinsing? Is it, you're allowed to rinse them?
The burr.
Why are you allowed to rinse them?
Yeah, that's the main question. Are you allowed to rinse them?
what, you're rinsing them because that's why it's easier to wash them after Shabbos.
Yeah.
That's problematic. You put them in there dirty.
Then you have to take them out after Shabbos.
That's fine. Okay, good. That's why it's not Hakona. But it's a good place to store them. You push it, you don't have to see it. Is it great? Is it great? Eric complains, well, you can't wash it because I see all these dirty dishes. Stick them in the dishwasher. We use the dishwasher, and we use the oven, by the way. That's a lot of places we store our dirty dishes. After the oven goes off, right at night.
Just don't turn it on.
Yeah, it turns it on.
Just gotta be careful.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know.
We've done it.
I'm sure everybody's done it at some point in their life. Okay. So into dishwasher number 33 was Hachana, and the answer to that's a normal, if you would do that normally, we do that another week. We put it there, and then we're ready. We deal with it.
Normally when you're doing this, I don't know how you do it in some ways without sorting. So you bring in all your fish plates, and now you have all of your fish plates and all of the forks. Where do I put, if I'm putting the forks away in the dishwasher, I have to put them in the forks, like the silverware thing. And I have all of these plates that are together that I'm going to stack together because that's how
I would assume that silverware and plates are distinct from each other. So it's not a problem with sorting.
Well, when you carry them in, you could have silverware plates, you could have them all stacked together in one big pile, and now I want to put them away in the dishwasher so they're not sitting in my sink. So now I'm taking plates.
If it would be a terubah's issue, it would be a terubah's issue, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's not considered an immediate use, so storing them is not called an immediate use, so it's not going to be mutter.
We'll just come to your house Friday night.
What?
Can we just have, like...
Okay, you know.
We just have a sure in action, like, let's watch for the triangle, clean up the table.
Okay.
If you take off...
I mean, what
he was asking before, if you pick up one thing at a time, then you haven't created a deruba. So if you bring in one plate off the table, and one silver off the table, and you could you're just saying collect all the silverware on one hand and all the plates on the other hand.
You know, it's a fair question.
Can you purposely clear your table so there's a lot of
problems? Right, like can I just take all the silverware in this hand and all the plates in this hand and then come in?
There's a discussion in Halacha, which the majority of poskim hold, is a problem. Rosh HaMazaman, Rabbi Yashiv, Rosner, Mishnah Krell, it's all passed on this, and the Rav Moshe did not come in Leheter on this one, which is called Ishav called Kolabola Yotri. Okay? So it says, I'm not, you know, there's a big pile over here, I'm taking something randomly. It says, oh, that's a knife, put it here. Oh, that's a fork, put it here. That's not mutter. If I have a valid reason why I have it in my hand, other than because I want to put it somewhere, which we'll get to when we get to washing dishes, I need to dry them, so I can take two or three in my hand at a time to dry them. So, or one in a hand, I can take one at a time to dry it. Like, that's what Rivki was saying, was if I take it to rinse it, I have a valid need to take it. Assuming rinse it would be permitted, right? So now I have a valid reason, I need to take this, I don't rinse three plates at a time. I take one plate at a time. Now I have a valid reason to take it out of the taruvis, and now I can put it wherever I want. If I have no valid reason to take it out of the taruvis, just other than to get it in my hand and then put it somewhere, that's not mutter. Is that making sense? Is that clear? Everybody understand that?
So if it's in a place, like if somebody, like your guests, like dump it all in the sink and you need your sink to be clear, then you could take out one at a time?
No. That's the same way, because but if I have a reason to take one at a time, besides the fact that I want to take one at a time.
Well, you want to get
sink.
Your sink clear.
Do?
You can't
do
take everything at once from your sink to clear it.
How do I clear a sink that's full of dirty dishes? Because your guests come in and they put all the dirty dishes in the sink. Now
so again, I don't have a need to. I mean, I have a need to pick them up. I don't have a need to take. If there's no valid usage of one at a time. So that's called bala yada. I have a mixture here. Take one and put it. Take two. I don't, whatever the number I take, it's called bala yada.
So I just take all of them, put them on a countertop, and use my
right. Hands. The other option is you can always spread it out. Like you take your plates and just throw them, and then they're separate, and then you have no problems because they're not taruvas anymore.
No, but the silverware you could do that. You could throw it all over the counter, and then
theoretically, as long as they separate out, they actually become distinct. There's mimotar. I'm not suggesting you should do that. Anyway, okay. Washing dishes now. So what's permitted, what's also, and washing dishes in regards to the, I think number 35 is Hachana. I gave you some space. So let's talk about number 35 first, and we'll go back to number 34.
Skip 31.
I know, I did. I would like to get back to it. I'm not sure. I want to address this. I want to address these other issues first. Okay. Okay. So I'm washing dishes. I'm washing dishes for immediately for you after Shabbos use. I have no more use for it on Shabbos. Theoretically, it's a halakha problem. I'm preparing for after Shabbos, so it would be prohibited. However, there are a few different heterim. So number one, if I have something which Chazal said, which the chances are you might use it, there's possible use cups. You never know; you might need another cup. So I want to wash the cups. It's very possible I could use another cup. People, guests, drops in. You're always using cups. Unless I know for sure I'm not going to use it. When it comes to kosis, the rule is unless I know I'm not going to use it, I'm allowed to wash. So cups are the opposite. Right? Unless I know for sure I'm not going to use it, I'm allowed to wash a cup. Okay. If I'm washing for the next, I'm going to use it again on Shabbos, but I only need one plate, I'm allowed to wash those plates. I don't have to limit myself to one plate. Once I'm washing a plate.
This is Friday night.
Let's say Friday night. I'm washing now. I'm going to be using these plates again Shabbos morning. But on Friday night, I had a few guests. And Shabbos morning, just having the family, it's going to be less plates. I'm allowed to wash all of those plates. Whatever I'm going to be using again the next day, so I'm using large plates again. I have 10 plates. Tomorrow I only need 4. I can wash all 10. Once I'm washing plates, I can wash all of the plates and then you pick whichever one I want to use. If I'm not using fish plates again, so then I can't wash any of them. But the large plates, which I'm going to be using again, I can wash all of them. If I'm worried about, if I don't wash them, there's going to be a problem of smell or a problem of bugs. Summertime, that could be much more an issue. Sometimes in wintertime also. So then I'm allowed. I'm not doing it for after Shabbat. I'm doing it for right now. I don't want to have a smell. I don't want to have right. So then I'm washing them for a valid need, which is right now. I'm allowed to do that. If I have a type of a, sometimes you have, let's say a pot, even something that which it will be. Well, a pot is a problematic because of maybe this might be muksa. Which if it, let's say silver or some of that, which if it sits in there for too long, it's not good for the it will damage the kaolin.
A wood ball.
Okay, right. Good example, right? If it sits too long in there, it will damage it. Become smelly, whatever it is, you can't get it out. It will cause a damage to the keli, so I'm allowed to wash it.
Maybe you just need the sink. I just want to wash the dishes because I need the sink. I'm not prepared. I need the sink. My sink is plastic. I need to switch to Mofix. I need my sink. It would never even occur to me to do that.
Fine. Pick up
the whole pile and put it on my counter dirty.
Okay. Now, let's say, not only washing them, but I want to put them in the shisal. I'll wash them after Shabbos, but I want them, it's much easier to wash them when they haven't solidified and all the gunk is stuck on them. I want to sort of soften, keep them soft. I want to put them into the water. So I'm not washing them. I'm not discussing washing them. I'm discussing getting. But is that a problem of hakana? So hakana, it's not a problem of hakana to maintain the situation which they're in. So if I put them in where they're still wet, they haven't dried yet, it's not a problem. So I can take my shisel and fill it up with water and put all these plates in on Shabbos and have them wet after Shabbos and easier to clean. If they dried already, then I couldn't do that.
What about like a chillin' pot? I took all the chillin' water, it's now in a bowl. Can I take the pot and put water in it?
That's a solution, okay. They're being sold by the Melman family. We have an advertisement over here. Theoretically, I could put water into the pot. I'm not sure I'm allowed to move the pot to put water in it, though.
Okay.
Because the pot, once all the food is removed from the pot becomes moksa.
Okay, and same things. Like, I take out my soup because the soup pot's too hot, so I pour it into a thing, and then I have my soup pot, and I have my soup pot on the counter, then I can take water and just pour it into the pot.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if that chillin' pot is a crock pot and you do not have it go off? The heat is still on. If you put water in...
Right, obviously that would be a problem.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But how do you...
You're not serving your children. You have to take it out.
No, the chowin is out, but she was talking about washing.
So you have to take the pot out to serve the chowin.
Yeah.
Right, no. The first crock pots from when I was young, it's one piece. No, the first ones were actually one piece. It was one piece. You had to pour out the whole thing. You had to pour. I haven't seen them in years. So unless you have somebody, your Bubby gives you a matana for an old crock pot, it's not an issue. Okay. Let's say I would have a few plates there in the sink, and I would like, I'm allowed to wash my hands, right? And the water happens to go on the plates, that's not my problem. So even if the plates are dry, there's nothing stopping me from washing my hands on top of those plates. Let's say I want to add water to the pot to prevent it from getting smelly, right? So I'm not washing it, but my goal is to add water, and it's even dried, etc. But if I don't add water, it's going to start getting smelly over Shabbos, etc. So that would be mutter. So all of those are present needs that I have. Yes.
So I have a really small counter space. I have my blech on. If I leave my pot that's wet, and I don't bother putting any water in it, but it'll dry because it's right next to the blech and the heat source. Am I allowed to put water in the pot at that point to prevent it from drying?
You have a crock pot, you're saying it's like a...
Yeah, so, but it's next to a heat source, so the heat's going to actually cook it some more.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's not directly on it, it's next to it.
You can't move it somewhere.
That's my fleshy counter.
Uh-huh.
It's small.
If you put water in, it wouldn't heat the water up?
Might, but that's not my intention. My intention
is to keep
the gunk from... I understand. So... Yeah, I'm
very sure it's so it right now, it hasn't dried, so your goal is to put water in to prevent it from drying. That's not a problem. The only problem is I'm worried about the heating up the water. I'm not sure what the solution for that is.
There's no
oven. You have a urn.
I don't keep the blood.
Uh-huh.
I don't keep a hot.
Does your neighbor? I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay. Okay. So, if you bear with me, I want to get through this. Getting your borough issues. So number 34 is washing dishes, bar, and number 36 is cleaning table, which is a bar issue, the sorting issue, which applies on both ends, and we'll have to leave some of the numbers beyond that for table to sink number 3. Okay.
Can you do soap?
Can I do soap?
Yeah.
I would love to do soap, but let's see if we can get there. Okay, so if I have the best solution for this problem, which is like you said, why do you have this big mess over here? Because all your guests are very nice, and they all get together right at the end of the meal, and they bring everything to the kitchen at one time. And now you have this big mess in your kitchen, which is a terufis on your kitchen table or in your sink. Right? Now, if these guests wouldn't be so nice, you wouldn't have this problem. You take it one at a time off the table. The table is not a taruvus; it's larger. There's space, so I'm not doing any selecting off of the table. Taking one plate at a time and put it where I want to put it. That's not a problem. Problem is, everybody does it in one shot. It's a problem. As each person comes in with the plate off the table, if you can direct them, you'll get somebody to stand there and direct traffic. Again, it'll be fine. So if you can avoid getting into the situation with taruvus, that's the best solution. Because once you have a taruvus, things get much more difficult to do.
So as people come in, you just say, just put it in the dishwasher.
Right.
Okay.
Or announce at the meal, please, everybody should put it, don't put it on the kitchen table. Don't put it straight there. Tell them where to put it, that makes life easier. That sounds a little bit strange, but okay, that's,
Can you deal with scraping? Because that's part of the issue, too. They come in with their plate, and their plate has stuff on it.
Okay, scraping. Let me try and deal with this, and I will try and get back to these 2 points. Okay. The same thing is if when they come in, if somebody's directing traffic, you will not have a problem. The problem is that everything comes haphazard, it becomes very difficult. Somebody's directing traffic, okay, you're going to put in the dishwasher, put the large plates over there. So each person has one plate in his hand, and make a pile of large plates, scrape it into the garbage, and put the large plates there. Put the small plates there, put the bowls over there. It's clear, they're distinct, I don't have a problem with it. If I end up with a situation where there's large, small, and if I want to take them out to wash, I need to wash them. Again, the act of washing them, I don't do a larger amount than one time, I do one at a time. So that's a valid reason to take one at a time. Once I have it in my hand, it's not part of a taruvus, put it wherever you want. Or I wash my silverware together, so it's a taruvus. But I dry them, I don't have to dry 5 at a time, I could dry 1 at a time, or 2 at a time. So now it's not, I take 2, well, it happens to be that those 2, one was a knife, one was a fork, both were, I'm taking it for a valid reason to take these 2 items into my hand, because I want to dry them. Once I want to dry them, they're separate, I can put them into the correct compartment in my silverware drawer. So once I have a valid reason why I have it in my hands, and it's not part of the mixture anymore, I'm okay. I can't just say, well, here, let's just take one and put it. Like, I'm not washing them, I'm not drying them, I got to put them somewhere, well, let's move them one at a time. That would be a problem. That's the problem of Kol HaBo Lo Yodo. But that Kol HaBo Lo Yodo doesn't make it mutter. Even if that situation, I do want to point out, so I'm saying, okay, you know what, I'm a very mesudarit person, let's say. I'm not a mesudar person, but hopefully you are mesudarot people. I like washing all of the large plates together, and all the small plates, so then already I might have a problem. If they're not distinct, so okay, I have a mixture, let's do all the large plates first. So I'm picking out the large plate, that's a selection action. But if I take one plate at a time, whatever it is, and I deal with it,
why are you allowed to wash all of them at all? Unless
again, I'm saying I have a need for them for the next day.
Okay, but let's say you're in a situation where you have a need for them, but you're not serving soup bowls, and right, they're mixed in. So now what?
So
I take out a soup bowl and then just be like, oh, well, now I'm holding one, so I put in the dishwasher. Like,
no, that would be a problem. Right. I don't have a valid reason to take it. Yeah.
Okay, but I can't get the dishes underneath. How am I sorting through the dishes I need?
If that's a fair question, there is a loch in borer. If the reason why I'm moving something is because it's blocking, that's not a borer problem. I'm not selecting, I'm not sorting.
I can't put it away while I'm holding it?
Well, once I move it.
In my hand.
Siluk is mutter. Let's say the example, which the person goes to a simcha, and it's in the wintertime, everybody puts their coats down on the bed. Okay, now I come back and I have a pile of about 20 coats, minding one of them, right? So that's the good from the bad. For me, my coat is the good, everybody else is it the bad. I mean, maybe not, but, right? Let's say for argument's sake. So you have a problem with burger. But I can't take the bad one, but I'm allowed to take off the pile on top to get mine on the bottom. I have to know where it is. I can't start like, oh, that's the wrong one. That I can't do. That's a burger problem, right? But if I know where it is, I just need to get to all the ones. So I have to get to it. That's not a problem of bird. That's called just moving. That's called moving. It's not called selecting. So moving is not a problem. Okay. So after you're washing, drying them one by one, and putting in the right places, it's not a problem of bird. Taking the plates one by one to wash them and then putting them wherever you want is not a problem of bird. The food which is on the dining room table, usually I don't think it's a problem, but if it is a problem, the best solution is to make sure you don't get the situation in the chatchilo. In other words, you can clean off a course before you get, if you're afraid you're going to be serving a lot of courses and you have a small table, a lot of things there, clean off one of the earlier courses before you get to the later ones, so you won't have this problem of burr or taruvis at the end. Scraping. So an interesting discussion by scraping. Now, I have to tell you that we had the following uncomfortable situation. So some fine persons had to scrape for us, the scraping. And, you know, my wife, Kadarka, had a large amount of people there and a large amount of food and a large amount of food left over on the plates, etc. And there's this pile getting bigger and bigger of the forks and the knives and the chicken bones, etc. on this one plate. So they got to the point that there was a taruvus on the plate. So what do I do now? So we stuck the whole thing into the fridge till after Shabbos. Because we didn't have a solution for it. So from that point onward, we make an announcement that we do not scrape by the. It says, oh, it's shidduch issues. No, it's burr issues.
We don't scrape at the table.
We don't scrape at the table because of burr.
One at a time.
Now, the other hand, if you're going straight to the, I saw Rabbi Nissen Carell, it says, scrape at a table. Because if you don't, you put it all on the kitchen table, now you have a taruvus, now you have a burr problem. Right?
Yeah, but as you walk in.
So if what you do is, as you walk in, you go straight to the garbage can, you take the whatever discard goes into the garbage can, and then you take the plate, which is now separate, and put it in the right place, you're fine. But if you have the person who does you the favor, like he puts it down on your kitchen table with the junk on it, then you have problems. You have other problems anyway besides. The guy needs a chinuch. I said guy because it's not going to have my woman. So we mentioned last time there is an issue, I think, with scraping, possibly, of moving muksa. If the foodstuffs are still muksa, there's a little bit of kugel leftovers, not muksa. You know, it's a little bit, if you have what's left over already are chicken bones, which are muksa, so the heter moving them off the table is because it's uncomfortable, it's disgusting, so I'm allowed to remove it, to get it off the table, so that allows me to take it off the table and put it in the garbage can. And then stop along the way and scrape. Why am I scraping? What's that about? I don't have a heter to stop along the way to scrape. I have a heter to get it off of there because it's more, so I'm moving it. Because it's uncomfortable, I want to get it away from me. So that's what we said last week. If you're dealing with foodstuffs such as muksa at the end, scraping becomes much more of a problem for that reason. So I mentioned burr in regards to scraping plates because there's potentially, we've experienced the reality of burr on one end, and there's potentially a reality of burr on the other end. So you have to be aware of that. Okay, so I think then we'll. I'm going to skip 36 for the most part because I think we've touched on most of that. Okay, benches sorting. I have this, you know, we have Sephardi benches, we have Ashkenazi benches, we have Sephardi guests, we have Ashkenazi benches. So I want to take my Sephardi benches, put them in the Sephardi benches, so I have a sorting problem. If they become a mixture on the table, so of course, again, always you have one guy at the end of the meal, is very nice, he takes all the benches and gathers it together in his hand and gives it to me. So I love you very much too.
Remember, when you go to their house, don't help.
Right. So, I appreciate it, but, something I try to remember, like, announce at the end, you know, be aware of the issue, this way they won't make a mistake. You know, if you announce, by the way, you say, have, those type of things, so you're aware you're getting into a sorting issue, be aware of the sorting issue. Okay, soap. So one of the Lama Tes Melachas is Memareach, smoothing something out, something which is a solid and making it, smoothing it. The example which was in the Mishkan was scraping leather, scraping off the hairs off the leather, make it smooth, etc. So Chazal said that applies to any solid which you're going to be smoothing. So I take a bar soap, which is a solid soap, and I rub it, I'm smoothing out the surface. Memareach does not apply to food. That's why if I want to smooth the surface of a food stuff, I have a chicken salad, I want to make it smooth on top, or something like that, that's not a problem with Memareach. But it does apply to non-food items. So that's the soap always becomes the issue. Now, that's Mirabonan. Mirabonan, the Chama came along and said, even if it's not a salad, there still is a problem of Memareach. If it's a semi-salad, so at what point in time is okay, semi-salad, but liquids are not a problem. Memareach, you don't smooth out a liquid. So the question always, of course, is liquid soap is mutter. And that's, there is a immersion that salad was machra in liquid soap. You have to dilute it with water, but the consensus of most poskim is not like immersion. That liquid soap is mutter. If you have a masur like Ramosha, that's great. But otherwise, if you don't, I'm comfortable telling you that liquid soap is mutter to use. The consensus of poskim is that it's mutter.
What about this type of soap that foams when you pump it?
Okay, let me hold that for a second. So now the question, of course, is how liquid is liquid? Different soaps come at different levels of viscosity, and how viscous is called ready. That's ready touching on. It's not liquid soap. It's what the Chum Aser, they Aser creams, etc. The creams is not. It's not. In general, any liquid soap which pours. So it's would we assume to be, it's thicker, thinner, and usually you can assume most of your liquid soaps are not going to be a problem of mimareach. Remersha raised the second question when it comes to soaps, which is creating the foam. So when you add the soap to the water, so you're creating this foam, etc. And he said that's your problem of molid. You're making, let's say you can't make your soup into a solid, you can't make this foam, etc. So if you're dealing with liquid soap, again, the sense of the poskim is that it's not a problem. Your goal isn't to make the bubbles. The bubbles do not last. They're not significant to you. That's not how you use it, etc. It's not important to you. However, nowadays they have these soaps which the whole process, how they work, is by foaming them. So this is your whipped cream issue, right? So are you allowed to whip cream in the aerosol can? Right? Are you allowed to use the whipped cream in the aerosol can? Many persons say it's a problem. It's a Merlot problem. It's inside the can. It's liquid, and it comes out as this foam, or cream or whatever it is. It's foam. You're changing it into a new entity. So again, we said the chatchila, that's not permitted to do that. So you should not. Those would not be preferred way of doing it. Okay, we got through most of it. There's still what to talk about. It's quite late already. I don't want to keep anybody anymore. The next year I'm going to be saying Mr. Hashem is, I remember the date, is
January 30th.
Dominic. So maybe between that year and the following year we'll stick in table to sink number 3. Okay. Thank you for
coming. We'll do davening for women part 2 then.
What?
We'll do
That's a good question. Okay. Any questions?
What was the difference between liquid soap and cream?
Depending which cream you have.
Right. The difference between cream and lotion.
Well, lotion.
What's the difference between liquid soap and lotion?
Some of the lotions are theoretically are not a problem in mareach. There might be other problems of refu and other issues with them. Some of them theoretically, I think, are not a problem of mareach.
So, are there any that you're allowed to use if your hands are trapped? Like if you got a really thin one, are you allowed to use it?
If it's really thin, the problem is that it gets involved in refuah.
What?
It gets involved in refuah. So, in other words, it moves out of the mimareach issue into what's. So, it said anytime if it's not obvious you're doing it for refuah purposes.
Preventative as opposed to.
Let's say, for example, I like a nice smell in my hand, right? So, I do it regularly just because of the nice smell. So, I'm not doing it for refuah. So now I want to put it on one time, just because my hands are getting a little bit hard. But it's not why I do it normally. And many people do not. Many people would do it just for the smell. If that would be true, it wouldn't be a problem.
But I don't do it that way. But,
right. So there was time of the Gemara, they used to use oil. They used to anoint their hands with oil. So there's no problem putting oil on either. It's going to heal your hands. But nowadays we only put oils on to heal your hands, so it's a problem. So.